Are you looking for a new devotional resource in 2019? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is Day by Day in Genesis, 365 Devotional Readings by Martin Luther. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Day by Day in Genesis, 365 Devotional Readings by Martin Luther. I am the product of the Lutheran parochial school system. I haven't taken every class there ever was offered any place, but from kindergarten all the way through the end of high school, and then college, and then seminary and beyond, it was all parochial Lutheran schools for me. I'm happy to say that. Was it a great education? Well, it was spotty in places. I'll say that much. Part of it was due to the fact that in this era of education, even in Christian schools, the textbooks were essentially secular textbooks. And I was educated under a model that was called integration of the faith, that we would use these secular textbooks, and then we would integrate the faith into the subject matter as necessary. Is that a flawed approach? We're going to be talking about creation and education textbooks. Dr. Barbara Helmkamp joins us on this Thursday afternoon. She has a PhD in physics from Louisiana State University. She's a faculty member at Veritas Scholars Academy, and she'll be speaking at a conference on creation and education in the LCMS May 2nd through the 4th in Littleton, Colorado. Dr. Helmkamp, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
The subject we'll be covering here includes Darwinism, but it's part of a much bigger worldview, materialism. What is that?
Well, material, pointing to the word matter, would suggest that materialism relates, the physical world of matter, space, energy, time is all that exists, or that one functionally operates as though it's all that exists, that the supernatural would not have a voice, would not be relevant. In a recent talk I heard by Randy Guliuza, he adopted the expression to refer to materialism perhaps as anti-creation. We use the term evolution, but that more narrowly points to Darwinism, and as you say, materialism is much broader than that. I think probably the best way to define materialism would be in the words, you know, as it's conventionally used, or as I'm thinking of it, would be to use the words of Richard Lewontin. He's an emeritus professor of evolutionary biology from Harvard. So if I may, I'm going to read a quote by him.
Sure.
Okay. So this is from an article he wrote about something written by Carl Sagan, interestingly. So, and he says, our willingness to accept scientific claims that are against common sense is the key to an understanding of the real struggle between science and the supernatural. We take the side of science in spite of the patent absurdity of some of its constructs, in spite of its failure to fulfill many of its extravagant promises of health and life, in spite of the tolerance of the scientific community for unsubstantiated just-so stories, because we have a prior commitment, a commitment to materialism. It is not that the methods and institutions of science somehow compel us to accept a material explanation of the phenomenal world, but on the contrary, that we are forced by our a priori adherence to material causes to create an apparatus of investigation and a set of concepts that produce material explanations, no matter how counterintuitive, no matter how mystifying to the uninitiated. Moreover, that materialism is absolute, for we cannot allow a divine foot in the door. So that's the quote that I wanted to share, because it explains what I think materialism is in practice.
I want to come back to that quote near the end of our conversation, but can you give us some examples of materialism in education today?
Well, I do believe that entire disciplines are entirely materialistic. Some of them cosmology, in as much as it exclusively considers the Big Bang, Darwinism, and anthropology, even disciplines related to behavior and morality, like a lot of psychology, sociology, gender studies. So some examples are entire disciplines, entire degrees that universities confer. But other examples, like down at the grade school level, consider class trips to the Museum of Natural History, and you see Lucy's Pensive Pose, or planetariums. I recall going to a planetarium with my children when they were in Lutheran school in Houston, where they were told they're children of the stars because their elemental makeup matches the stars. Or you go to the zoo and there's evolutionary signage. You go to state parks and deep time signage abounds. Scholastic Magazine, Scholastic Book Fairs, sex ed in the public schools. That's a scary thought these days, I think. I mean, I can go on and on. I think the neglect of teaching Western civilization even derives from an inability to prefer one system or tradition over another, coming from a materialistic viewpoint. And then in particular, I again struck by something Randy Guliza said, that to start noticing how often nature is routinely personified, if not even deified, in anything relating to science topics that you might read or watch.
What about textbooks? How pervasive is materialism in secular textbooks?
Well, if we see materialism as the absence of God, the rejection of God, the irrelevance of God, then sort of fundamentally there's zero reference to God as creator in secular textbooks. So it's pervasive in that sense. But how pervasive makes me think of wanting to do some kind of comparison that I have not yet done. It makes me want to look at textbooks maybe back to the 20s for reasons of some important Supreme Court cases that occurred in the 20s and see how textbooks changed in this regard in references to a creator or to God in content that would be purely materialistic from, you know, like by decade to the present. That would be very interesting, but I haven't done that. So a future project.
Tell us the story of the 1923 Supreme Court case, Meyer v. State of Nebraska.
Okay, so there had been a law enacted a few years prior in Nebraska that outlawed teaching any subject in a language other than English. And it had a second prong to it, interestingly, also, that foreign languages themselves could not be taught until, like, the eighth grade or older. It turned out that in I can't remember the town, small town in Nebraska, with what's described as a one-room schoolhouse, there was a Lutheran school, Zion, and a teacher by the name of Meyer was caught teaching reading in German from a Bible. So then he was arrested, convicted, tried, and appealed to the Supreme Court, and that was then overturned. So it was a very important case, but it's really significant because it was a time when there was a lot of anti-German, if you will, sentiment. It was between the World Wars. And it points to the very real fear there might have been of losing the freedom to have Lutheran schools, even. So that's the story there. It ended up being an important decision relating to a subsequent case in Oregon.
Is that the case Pierce v. Society of Sisters?
Yes, it is.
Tell us about that one.
Yeah, that's... It ended. Pierce was the governor of Oregon at the time, so he was representing the state of Oregon. And Oregon so that was 1925 that case went through. Just a few years earlier, created a law that would require compulsory public education. So basically, private schools and parochial schools would have been outlawed. The Society of Sisters, it was a little longer name than that, the Society of the Holy Name, Society of Sisters of the Holy Names of Jesus and Mary. And they were active in that region with schools, even a college, and normal schools for teaching teachers and orphanages and so forth. Well, they sued, I think along with another private school, a military academy, and got the law stayed. It hadn't gone into effect yet. It was pending for 1926. And then Pierce, basically the state of Oregon, then appealed. And it went to the Supreme Court. But there it was a unanimous decision with a far-reaching implications, even very much for homeschooling today and the rights, the tremendous freedoms we have with that. I can read a brief piece by James Clark McReynolds, who was the Supreme Court Justice. The fundamental theory of liberty upon which all governments in this union repose excludes any general power of the state to standardize its children by forcing them to accept instructions from public teachers only. The child is not the mere creature of the state. Those who nurture him and direct his destiny have the right, coupled with the high duty, to recognize and prepare him for additional obligations. So this was a wonderful decision for the continuance of private and Christian education in this country. But it also points to, a very real fear at that time that would have existed for any Lutheran schools, any Catholic schools, of losing their schools. So that's important to the idea of integrating the faith, which is a particular topic I want to raise at the conference in May, you know, the question of whether that model that has persisted in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod schools may be ready to be punted, to put it simply.
Dr. Barbara Helmkamp is our guest, faculty member at Veritas Scholars Academy. We're talking about creation and education textbooks. We'll get to that term that is popular in Lutheran education circles, integrating the faith. Find out what it means after this.
Mark your calendars for the Scott Credit Union Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 16th and 17th, at and to benefit Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville. The Home and Garden Show is a fundraiser produced by a volunteer parents group with the support of regional businesses and partners. The Metro East Home and Garden Show has something for everyone, from the basement to the roof and everything in between, to lawn care and landscaping outside your home, from kettle corn and monster trucks to tractors and zero turns, family-friendly activities from child fingerprinting and face painting to child and fire safety. Take advantage of pet adoption, electronics recycling, and shredding services on site Saturday only. And Fredbird flies in on Sunday. Admission and parking are free, compliments of Element Turf. The Scott Credit Union Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 16th and 17th, is sponsored in part by Liberty Fence, Renown Remodeling, Seavers Equipment, and Woods Basement Systems. Show and exhibitor details can be found at mehgs.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, we keep the focus on Christ every Sunday with ancient liturgy, preaching from the lectionary, and celebration of the sacrament of the altar. Come be a part of the evangelical and Catholic faith as handed down to us in the Lutheran confessions. We celebrate the divine service every Sunday at 8 o'clock and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages at 9:15. To learn more, visit holycrossrockland.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Germantown, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Grace Lutheran, Clarksville, Tennessee. Hope Lutheran, Sunbury, Ohio. And Reformation Lutheran, Hillsboro, Oregon. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about creation and education textbooks with Dr. Barbara Helmkamp. She has a PhD in physics from Louisiana State University, and she's a faculty member at Veritas Scholars Academy. Dr. Helmkamp, what is meant in Lutheran education circles by that phrase you mentioned before the break, integrating the faith?
Okay, I think, simply put, I learned it sort of by experience back when I taught at and through the colloquy I did, anyway, at St. Mark in Houston, that it's a commitment to using secular textbooks. And I found a little piece about Lutheran education in a book by Prager, well, I'll just summarize it, that basically asserts that Lutheran schools are known for using the same structure and the same curriculum as public schools, though they range. Some are might be classical, some might be progressive, but the majority fall in this middle sort of traditional school that emulates the public schools as much as possible, but then integrates the faith by having Christian teachers and adding, you know, chapel and adding Bible and so forth. So it's that is what's meant by integrating the faith, but it's a misnomer because one wants to consider what are we integrating? What is the desire? I think the object is to integrate Christian faith into the mind and life of the child and integrate into education itself and not mixing secular sources on the written page with a Christian source, you know, the audiovisual, the person. So it's a bit of a misnomer, I think, but it's very clear where it comes from these 20s court cases when it was kind of safe. It would be safer to just use the same curriculum. Say, we're really teaching the same thing. And then you can keep your schools and you can still, you know, teach Christ crucified and promote the gospel, Bible memory, all the wonderful things. But it sort of was a compromise based in fear, I think.
So in effect, it was an approach that said, we will go ahead and teach materialism in terms of the textbooks, but we're going to try and counterbalance that with Christian teachers and other elements of teaching the faith.
Right. Yeah, and so I undertook this campaign, if you will, a battle against the wills to try to understand the resistance I encountered to have a Christian school have Christian publishers. But yes, the materialism is in the textbooks, and you put it in front of the child, and you basically have to undo it. And you know, there might be a place, depending on the age of the child, depending on the subject, where you deliberately teach counter views and teach in an apologetic sense, you know, how the Christian faith relates to this or that ism in society, this or that past event or seminal paper that was written, you know, Origin of Species, whatever. That's very much a part of education, but you would not just put a secular textbook in front of the child. You would do it another way. You would wait until the right time, in middle school years, high school years. And so you have a primary authority for that child in the classroom. You have the teacher and you have the textbook. And my question at the time when I was sort of fighting this battle was, why would you deliberately put these in opposition to one another? So it was an interesting experience, very much so.
I want to go into a little more detail into that experience, but before we do that, what do you think the 16th century reformer Martin Luther would make of attempts to integrate the faith into essentially materialist and secular textbooks?
Well, I know there was some need for educational reform in his era, and he was a proponent of that, but even so, the educational model for so much of of Western civilization and history in Europe was more a much different education than what is the standard public school education in America. So undoubtedly he would have been in great shock, maybe at how vacuous it is, void of content. I think he also, I mean, he's famously known for a statement in his treatise of 1520 to the Christian nobility where he said he would advise, and I quote, no one to send his child where the Holy Scriptures are not supreme. Every institution that does not unceasingly pursue the study of God's Word becomes corrupt. I greatly fear that the universities, unless they teach the Holy Scriptures diligently and impress them on the young students, are wide gates to hell. So, very rather famous quote by Martin Luther. So what we've become so used to and justify because of separation of church and state or whatever we do with it is the absence of Scripture in all the public schools, certainly. So he would be in shock, I think.
So go into a little more detail about what you call your own naivete on this issue of textbooks and materialism.
Yeah, so my naivete there was that it just seemed obvious that Christian teachers at Christian schools would want Christian textbooks. I just wasn't aware of the history as I related it to the fears that became, I think, the backdrop for deliberately using secular curriculum. So as it turned out, my younger daughter was entering kindergarten. I was active in various church ministry stuff. The school board, knowing my background, asked me to formulate a course for the eighth graders that would be a ninth grade level course to track them into similar accelerated sciences in the public schools. Interestingly, it was called Integrated Physics and Chemistry. We had several pastors, and one was kind of a school pastor, and he encouraged me to go to the homeschool convention in Houston and look at the Christian publishers. And so I did that, and I was pretty wowed by a particular publisher. And I wanted to adopt that textbook for my course, and then saw, and I think this was intended by that pastor, an opportunity to recommend some Christian publishers for the school across the board. So, and about a year of trying, the principal, it was interim principal at the time, and this pastor and myself, we met with faculty, we had meetings of one kind or another. It just sort of finally died because of general fatigue. But there were like five different resistances I met. And one would just be this preference to integrate the faith using secular textbooks because we've always done it. So the sort of we've always done it answer. Another one was that Christian publishers necessarily promote non-Lutheran theology. And that's true. And I think that might be the most legitimate of these five. But I would say, is it really easier to unteach an entire anti-creation worldview than to address specific doctrines that are problematic? So that was the second. The third was the particular publisher I recommended, and I won't name them, but has some history that and some policies with institutions it's affiliated with that's not so good. And so some teachers really questioned that using that publisher would be offensive. And so I think they're the best ones out there, so that's important. Then some of the teachers I learned along the way were actually theistic evolutionists, so they just didn't want Christian publishers that affirmed, you know, six-day recent creation. That was pretty clear. And then one teacher I particularly battled a bit with just had the who needs textbooks at all argument, but there I would say we don't really want to punt the written page from education and just go with handouts and movies and whatnot. So that one's kind of humorous mostly. Related to the particular publisher that has some problematic history, interestingly, they supply textbooks for the what would be the third largest private school system of the Roman Catholics first, LCMS second, third is Seventh-day Adventist. And they rebranded their textbooks to kind of get around this association. Those are the five things encountered. So I think together this calls for the need for us to maybe take in hand textbooks that are distinctly Lutheran, that take advantage of the institutions we have, the universities, a publishing house, schools that need these textbooks, and undertake to publish them. Right now, the only textbook CPH publishes are these Discovery Works textbooks for grades 1st through 6th science. So I think there's a great need.
Dr. Barbara Helmkamp is our guest. We're talking about creation and education textbooks. When we come back, you got to wonder, are Lutherans incapable, just in terms of resources, of producing these books? We'll get an answer to that question next.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues, Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
What's the difference between brokenness and repentance? I've written a column in the latest Issues, Etc. journal titled Personal Brokenness. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa writes about being raised a nominal Roman Catholic and finding the saving gospel in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues, Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. We're talking about creation and education textbooks with Dr. Barbara Helmkamp of Veritas Scholars Academy. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. The 16th century reformer Martin Luther was an educator. He was actually a professor, university professor. That was his day job. And maybe you've wondered, what would it have been like to sit and listen in one of Luther's classes in the 16th century? Well, you can get a little taste of it from the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February. It's a devotional resource called Day by Day in Genesis. It is 365 devotional readings taken from Luther's lectures in the last 10 years of his life on the book of Genesis, just like sitting in the classroom with him. Find out more about Day by Day in Genesis by going to our website, issuesetc.org, or calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month. Dr. Helmkamp, before the break, we were talking about the need for Lutherans to produce textbooks, but I guess I'm wondering, are Lutherans incapable of producing Christian textbooks? Do we lack the resources either in people or in material?
I don't really know, but I think that if we don't have that, I don't know who does. Right now, I teach for Veritas Scholars Academy, affiliated with Veritas Press out of Pennsylvania, and it's a publisher and a school and classical Christian education. They've been undertaking to publish science textbooks, and I think they got as far as biology, and I'm teaching from the beta version of a chemistry, but they're strictly electronic textbooks. And they've gotten bogged down. I think the project is sort of bogged down. I was even approached to write the physics one back when I couldn't undertake it, and it's gotten bogged down. So they, as a high school, I think it's pretty clear for the sciences, they are lacking the resources to generate the textbooks. They, of course, they have to hire authors out of house, I think, to write them. But then I look at the fact that we have the universities, and our universities are engaged in teaching how to teach as well. They're sort of like normal schools as well, teaching grade school education. And we have the universities with science teachers that certainly we could tap people on the shoulders who would want to write textbooks. And I don't know, we have CPH. So I don't think that it would be beyond us. I don't exactly know why it has never been undertaken.
Give us an example of how materialism has found its way, or even, you say, been invited into Christian textbooks.
Right. So the one in particular would be the Discovery Works textbooks that I have a copy I bought. It's an older 1984 one, and then the Kurt ones are a little newer, 1999 copyright. But they are actually Houghton Mifflin. Houghton Mifflin bought out another publisher. I can't remember the name. But they are secular textbooks that were adapted for use in Lutheran schools. And there's much about them that is really terrific. But they were not written by Christians, and so it tends to have a bit of an add-on flavor. So where a particular topic, I don't know, plate tectonics or the geologic time scale or Darwin's voyage on the Beagle, where they're introduced, they read much like any secular textbook would. And these are topics that I don't even know if they belong in grade school. Frankly, students don't have the background and basics to even evaluate pros and cons. But that aside, then the next line would be, but this is not what all Christians believe, or some scientists don't hold to this. But the evidence and arguments are not there on the other side. So a teacher who would have that background, who's just really passionate about creation science, could come in and do a great job with these books. But the one that doesn't would just end up leaving the students with all this evidence for the one side, all the arguments, many scientists, most scientists, blah, 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 and then, but Christians don't believe it. That's a way in which naturalism is invited, and yet I would never say that these books are not a good idea. I think it's wonderful that they're there. It's a far cry to at least have some humility embedded when you say some scientists think. Even if you can just get that would be great in so many sources, things that are asserted as facts that are far from fact.
Are classical Christian educational materials the answer?
Well, I think they're the answer for classical Christian schools. So classical education, you've got what has been seen as almost developmental by classical Christian schools, where you have a grammar stage and then a logic stage and then a rhetoric stage. And then finally, what would be called the quadrivium, where you study subjects. So once you are in the realm of teaching subjects, sort of quadrivium, then I don't see really a big difference. So if Veritas Press, for example, published chemistry textbook, you could use it regardless of whether you're a classical school or a traditional school. But when we're talking grade school, there would be a big difference. And in some subjects, Veritas has a wonderful series, the Omnibus textbooks. Three of the six of them were published by Jean Edward Veith. It's an integration of theology, history, and literature. But this is the backbone of the courses, which is not what's taught in most schools. So I think there is a need for textbooks that would be traditional to fit the schools that we have. And definitely there are good classical materials. Memoria Press, I know, offers many things, as does Veritas Press. But there's a great need to fit the model that so many of our schools have, which would be more traditional.
Is this problem of materialism and the integration approach, is it even magnified in Lutheran higher education, colleges and universities?
I think it takes a different flavor. I think in the grade schools, middle schools, high schools, there would be every good reason to have publishers that are not anti-creator, but publishers that affirm Christianity as a worldview, as a contextual basis for education. Once you get to the college level, it maybe ceases to be practical to have Christian publishers, and then you even wonder, do you need a Christian publisher for, say, my daughter's taking a mechanics of materials in her engineering? that's it becomes amusing, maybe. But certainly, maybe those courses that all students generally have to take, like psychology, sociology, in engineering schools, geology, those might merit Christian publishers, perhaps. But I think at the university level, the model of integrating the faith that is used in the grade schools is the best choice. You have Christian teachers in the classroom, Lutheran teachers, and then it becomes more subject-focused anyway. So many degrees are skill-specific, like my daughter studying nursing, another one engineering. They're simply having a Christian Lutheran faculty who affirms the doctrine and authority of Scripture would be desired and maybe the main thing.
You say the slide from orthodoxy to liberalism has been a common fate for so many once religious educational institutions. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think Harvard, Princeton, all the schools we immediately think of, Ivy League schools, have religious roots, certainly, and they are bastions of liberalism in every respect, or most respects. So that would just be, in simplicity, what I mean. But how do you get there? I think we have academic freedom and tenure in most universities that causes a reinforcing of itself to where increasingly members are hired in who only agree with a given mindset, and it sort of gains momentum that direction. And even though in our Concordia universities we don't strictly have tenure or academic freedom, I would imagine there's some pressure to sort of have them. And I think I have seen and experienced that rollout of reinforcing a mindset that then carries a department or a whole school away from a purpose of integrating Christianity into the faith and life and mind of the student.
What is the best alternative to the integration of the faith approach?
Maybe just coming up with a new catchphrase would help so that people aren't confused. It's always good to understand what terms we use. But, you know, to make the goal to raise up children in the way they should go from the scriptures and the classical sort of mantra of goodness, truth, and beauty being the goals of education might be a better model. But just to recognize that the written material you put in front of a student matters, and to coordinate all of the sources that you're giving them toward the purpose of the Christian child.
Dr. Barbara Helmkamp has a PhD in physics from Louisiana State University. She's a faculty member at Veritas Scholars Academy, and she'll be speaking at the Conference on Creation and Education in the LCMS May 2nd through the 4th in Littleton, Colorado. You can find out more about this conference under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Helmkamp, thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Joel Bierman will be with us on the other side of the break. Part 2 of a series we're doing with him on Lutheran ethics. We're going to talk about the challenges to a Lutheran way of living, cultural, theological, and spiritual. Stay tuned.
In the family of God, we never run out of people to love. This line from Robert Zagore's article, Who is My Neighbor?, cuts to the heart of the Lutheran Witness's February issue on mercy. Beginning with the earliest Christians and carrying the story forward to present-day mercy work in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, this issue will open eyes to Christ's great love for the Church and the Church's great love for a world in need. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
If you're visiting Frankenmuth, Michigan, come to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in nearby Frankentrost. A hardy band of German missionaries founded Emmanuel Frankentrost in the wilderness near Saginaw. At Emmanuel, you can still hear the law and gospel in a beautiful liturgical service, just like those first settlers. For directions and divine service times, visit frankentrost.org. That's FrankenTrost.org.
your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Join the tradition of Lutheran teacher education at Concordia University Chicago. Choose from early childhood, elementary, secondary, or special education tracks and learn to bring God's love into your classroom. Our programs are nationally accredited, so you'll be equipped to serve at one of 2,500 Lutheran schools across the United States. Visit cuchicago.edu to learn more and apply today.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.